I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show will be a little bit different because in about 16 years of doing ET Yoga, I've really never tried to prove the existence of ETs because I've always felt that the information was self-explanatory. So tonight will be a little different because I'm going to be making a case for the existence of ETs based on scientific facts. And as well, we've got some information from an Andromedan contactee. And also, I'll be going over some current cutting-edge science that was given by ET sources. It's currently being proven by our physicists. And also getting into the why and when and who constructed the pyramids. So hope you'll find this show fascinating, as fascinating as I did putting it together. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa yoga or mantra repetition. Always sets the stage for the rest of the show. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, one of my spiritual teachers. He was also the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, and Japa Yoga was one of six branches of yoga that he taught. And in point of fact, the real yoga means union of you and your higher consciousness. And what most people call yoga in the West is just one branch of yoga called Hatha Yoga, which comprises the yoga asanas or postures, the breathing exercises called pranayams, and the cleansing exercises called kriyas. I'd like to now take this opportunity to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET Yoga audience just for being you and knowing that you're already making a huge difference in this world just by being you. And I'd like to extend an invitation for you to contact me concerning any questions you have about anything that's ever been presented on ET Yoga. And also apprise you of two free services. One is that you can always go to the archives of ET Yoga. You can do that by going on your computer, go BBS Radio, ET Yoga. And when you arrive at that page, you just scroll down to the archives, hit that one button, and it'll take you back to 16 years of programs, most of it tagged by subject title. And tonight's show would appear probably the following Tuesday after the Saturday presentation. And also, by contacting me at paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca, you can ask me questions and I will get back to you concerning your question and answer to the best of my ability. Free service, no strings attached. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is presented as is, and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, mainstream media, big pharma, and technology to the best of your ability given your particular circumstances. And I'm not going to go into the reasons for all that on tonight's show, because I think we've got lots of information here to share without going down that path. But rest assured, I've done my best to follow that advice. Now, in talking about ETs and do ETs exist, well, if you go back in my lifetime, for the most part, people were ridiculed, you know, in the past for believing in ETs. And I think public surveys now pretty much show the majority of people do believe that, yes, there's life out there in the universe somewhere. And whether or not it's contacting us or has arrived or it's in our skies is a debatable subject. I'd like to point you in a couple of directions related to this topic. One is at rense.com, R-E-N-S-E.com. on their main page on the right side, if you scroll down, you'll find some interviews with U.S. Navy Admiral William Tompkins. And I take my hat off. It's the late William Tompkins. He passed away in about last year sometime. And he gave testimony from back in the days of World War II and gave testimony about the Germans having UFO technology. And according to ET sources, this technology was given to the Germans by a group from Aldebaran. And near the end of World War II, that technology was moved down to Antarctica. And there's a long story associated with that, which I won't go into, but I will state that that was the very actual beginnings of the secret space program. And there is a secret space program. Of course, that's not going to be provable on tonight's show. But read the testimonies by William Tompkins. He's also been interviewed at least once, possibly twice, at Project Camelot by Carrie Cassidy. Because I know recently she reposted one of his interviews. And that's how relevant, like, his information still is. And I'd also like to mention to people about the Billy Meyer incident. A lot of people have heard about Billy Meyer. He was a Pleiadian contactee. Current Pleiadians confirm this as well, that he was a legitimate contactee of Semjaze. And back, I think it was 1971, I got the book UFO from the Pleiades, and that really gets into a lot of topics, including our extraterrestrial heritage, which is from the Lyra constellation, Vega star system. And moving ahead to more recently, there was a person who was taken aboard an Andromedan spacecraft who has shared some information that they've given. And basically, it's concerning four questions or four different bits of information. And the first bit of information or advice to humans on the planet at this time is that they explain that chaos is a prelude to transformation. So get comfortable with the situation. Just flow with it. That's their first point of advice. Second, not to keep your head in the sand, but don't spend 70% of your time listening or watching news, even alternative media, because it lowers your frequency. And in these times in particular, because there will be a bifurcation of timelines, one leading to a 5D experience and one leading to a negative timeline or a transhuman experience. The next point is get rid of the belief that you are not worthy. And in several different methods of raising consciousness, it's been said that really nothing's achievable without a true belief in deservability. So sometimes all the techniques in the world won't help you if you aren't solid in that area. And the one that I like the best, when they were asked, what is the most important question we can ask at this time? And their answer was, who am I? And they suggest to not answer with a mental construct. Let silence ask the question. And when you recognize who you are not, it tells you more fully who you are. And you are not your mental construct. And I really like that because it's the first time I've ever seen an extraterrestrial group recommend that. I give the Who Am I technique at the end of every program, and I will this evening. And that's how important I think it is. It's been a staple and something I do on every ET yoga program. Now I want to move on to some factual information related to three physicists, John Clauser, Alain Aspect, and Anton Zellinger, who equally split the Nobel Prize in Physics by proving the universe is not locally real. Pretty mind-boggling. And I'm sure most of the population doesn't know about it, but that's what they have accomplished. And I want to point out that about 30 years ago, Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R, E-T, who at the time was from the Esasani civilization, and at this time they're called the Shukani because they moved up a level, I guess, in consciousness. But he stated that physical reality isn't by itself real, except the experience of it is. Now, this in itself does not prove he's an ET. But what's the difference if he's 30 years ahead of his time? And this Esasani race, turns out, he's coming back from about 1,500 years in what we call our future. Because his race, the Esasani, was one of five hybrid races that were created by the Greys, mixing their DNA with human. And that was a result of all the massive abductions that took place. Over, I don't know how many years, but a lot of people. And they were finally effective in creating these hybrid races. Now, I don't get too excited about that because, in my opinion, the Greys, as well as Alpha Draconians, Anunnaki, they're all controlled by AI, and in my opinion, so is the Esasani. And even Bashar admits that there's three giant supercomputers, Epsilon, Epiphany, and Enigma, that control his home planet. And also, he's not the only one saying this. Tibetan Pleiadians have in the last 6 years stated that we live in a 3D hologram or matrix superimposed on a 5D background, and that this matrix reads your thoughts and emotions and beliefs and matches you up with experiences. And this was also confirmed by Bashar when he states that physical reality and everything you experience in your life is created, whether you know it or not, whether you are conscious of it or not, through what you imagine your reality to be. It is your beliefs, your emotions, and your thoughts that all wrap together into the triangle of your personality prison. And once it locks together in that triangle is the template of the imagination that activates your reality. And I want to mention something here in particular about these Tibetan Pleiadians. Because it must have been, a couple years back. I was in a dream. I was having a dream. And I was in the dream, I was on a Pleiadian spacecraft. And the craft name was Tolika, and I met two people on board. One was called Swaru, and one was called Annika. And it was a really vivid dream, and the next day when I woke up, I certainly remembered it, and started surfing the internet around those two names, Swaru and Annika, A-N-E-E-K-A, and you could do the same right now. And you know what? You're going to find articles written by Swarus and Annika, like I did. And then I found out that there's two websites that they operate, or that Tibetans operate. One is at swaru.org, that's S-W-A-R-U-U.org, and the other one is at cosmicagencyodyssey.com. And at swaru.org, you'll find now there's posted there about 1,500 articles were written by Pleiadians, 5D beings. And there's videos related to these articles at cosmicagencyodyssey.com. Amazing information going back into our history, going back into pretty much any subject you care to talk about. And if you can read that information or look at those videos, and you can't recognize that it's not coming from humans here, then, well, I'd suggest you better do some tune-ups on your discernment. And it so turns out that this Tolika spacecraft has been in orbit around the Earth now for going on about 6 years. And they try to play ball with the rules of the Galactic Federation so that they don't, you know, they're not here to prove anything. They're not even here to prove their existence because it might put the people that they're giving information to in jeopardy. So they're not proving anything, but they're given the information. And they're sort of given what they look like, although in their pictures they're not exactly. They're sort of touched up pictures, and there's touched up voices, and like I said, they're cutting all the corners that are possible, but to get information through to us, at least to a certain percentage of the population who can relate to it, who can recognize the frequency of this information and can benefit by it. So I highly recommend you do that. And the Pleiadians, they not only confirm the existence of the Matrix, but they also tell when it was created, who created it, and why it was created, which, to me, are the most logical questions to ask once you realize that we're in a Matrix. Or a simulation. because you don't see this every time it's presented in some show. Nobody's asking the questions. These are the proper questions. Who created it, and when did they do it, and why? Well, according to this Palladian information, they created the Matrix 12,500 years ago near the end of a galactic war, and they created it in order to trap the Alpha Draconians here on Earth and then to later deal with them. And somewhere along the line, in the interim, the Dracos hacked the system. I guess they say it was about 6,000 years ago. And in a sense, they've used the Matrix to trap humans here. And this all makes perfect sense if you really check, you know, into our history and how things have evolved and the fact that the Alpha Draconians and ET race has been primarily underground but have been in control of this planet for that period of time. And indirectly control all governments and all media and everything else through their influence and through their little, their in crowd. And again, mind-boggling information. Now, further confirmation also comes from the book Bringers of the Dawn. And I've talked about this for a long time on ET Yoga. The book was written by Barbara Marciniak, who channels Palladian information. And the central theme of the book is that thought plus emotion creates reality. And this book was published back in the 1970s and begs the question, who knew this stuff back then if they weren't ETs? And another confirmation of this concept comes from a channeling that was kept in the mystery schools for nearly 2,000 years of Mother Mary, channeled by Gene Hatch, called The Ultimate Truths of Reality. And one of them, of the 21 truths, states, and I quote, that everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. I'm going to repeat that. Everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. It's the codes of how to operate in this matrix, because the ultimate truths of reality tell you what's really going on. And this also connects to the concept of advanced alchemy. The goal of alchemy, as described by Dennis William Hauk, is to reach a state of consciousness that allows you to penetrate what he calls the mysteries. In other words, to become aware that thought becomes reality, that you can project your own reality, or you can become part of the experiment and change the experiment. And amplifying this topic is more Palladian information, that, and I quote, in between the phasing in and out of existence is where thought exists and then manifests the outer reality. And this presupposes the knowledge that the universe flashes in and out of existence with a flicker rate unperceptible by the human eye. And this is also currently being proven by modern science. But who are these people that know all this and have been publishing this in books for the last 40, 50 years? The Seth Material is another book by Jane Roberts, if you haven't come across that. Information there all coincides with the Barbara Marciniak information and the Bashar information, all about how thought creates and beliefs create. And master healers know that all disease exists in the auric field first and then manifests in the body. And this is one of the reasons the pharaohs and inner circles of ancient Egypt used Egyptian healing rods, which are in existence today as they heal your auric field. And I might add that I've been using them for about 20 years. And gets my full recommendation. And I've even seen Curlian photography of people who had disease in the pictures of their auric field, and then they hold these rods and even for 10 minutes, and then you look at their auric field and it lights up like a Christmas tree. You can find that on the internet if you want to do some search. And also, the Akashic Record is a symbolic representation that the brain uses to represent the fact that every thought which has ever been thought exists. The Akashic Record is the collective consciousness. It has been referred to as the mind of God, which happens to contain the information of the energetic vibration of every thought that has ever been thought in any way and in all universes that have ever been since the first division of oneness or source. It also contains a bit of future, in that from where you stand right now, you have paths of probability which extend past your lifetime. The future is always a vibrational match to the present. And so if you change a thought in the present, the future paths change. The general consensus is that this information is stored in the fifth dimension, but Teal Swan believes that information is stored in the dimension it corresponds to. So you can think of the entire Akashic Record as a great library, and the library is Source. So this brings us to further ET information concerning the secrets of how the pyramids were built, when they were built, and what they were used for. Now, this comes from one of the Swaroos from Tagata. And the first comment is the most telling, because she states that the pyramids were 100% of stellar construction. They are not from the indigenous population. They predate the very Egyptian culture and were built by a conglomerate of cooperative races of the Federation as generators of free energy and I guess you would say to increase the potential of consciousness and the ability for travel without a ship. And they are energy power plants at a planetary level. As far as the age of construction, according to the Pleiadians, they were built right after the flood as the matrix was being installed, and also held the purpose of distributing worldwide the frequency that the moon was transmitting, and the Sphinx is something like 30,000 years old. The main builder, architect, was Thoth, T-H-O-T-H. And they were built in a way that nobody considers today, which is the anti-gravity levitation of some stones, assisted by cranes, which are still there. That is the basis of the anchors and where the huge cables and pulleys passed. This in the great chamber of the Pyramid of Cheops. They were built with several methods, not just one. They mobilized quarry of limestone found further south. They were cut with energy tools, which were called industrial lasers and compressed sound saws. The stones were then levitated into place using anti-gravity and also sound. Sonic levitation is a system that is widely used in ancient construction, including those in Peru, among other places. A large external ramp was not used, as many suggest, since the construction of said ramp exceeds that of the pyramid itself. That is illogical, but spiraling ramps were used within the same pyramid, ramps that are still there because there are still hollow places. Liquid stone, liquidated with sound, was used as a means of filling and holding or gluing between the stones and the structures. Liquid stones for the external ones, they were put into place with the use of molds. And by the way, one of our current scientists is also showing that there's been some more recent discoveries about the pyramids, and they agree as well that there were molds used in the building of the pyramids. And Gosha says, let's talk about the function of the pyramids. And Swaru says, yes, electricity, and to send your power electrically all over the earth, no matter where you are, but also to stabilize the frequency of the entire planet, make it even more positive with an inverse manner than the moon does now. There are pyramids all over the earth placed at key ley line locations all over the world. Most are in China. It's all part of the same system. You could be anywhere on Earth back then, and you would have wireless power with this system. Pyramids generate more energy than 50 nuclear power plants. The function of free energy generators and others is not the primary function of the pyramids. That is the secondary function, because it is a stargate. But it is not a portal, although it can be. That is something else. It is a mechanism that allows you to travel. Like I told you, like a warp ship engine in reverse. It is a place that potentiates the psychic, mental, and natural astral travel energy of each person. This energy flow, pure positronic energy of exact frequency, compatible as constructive interference with the human aura and psychic energy. In contrast to Wi-Fi and invasive microwaves, electromagnetism, which is frequency destructive to human aura and the human psychic energy. And by the way, I just had a friend send me a scientific evaluation of the 5G towers. It's very destructive to humans. And I guess nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody ever brings it up. And maybe I'm the only one on the planet, but when they put all these 5G towers up, there's no testing done on them for human safety. And in my opinion, this is another violation of the Nuremberg Codes. It's a total experiment on humanity without permission nor informed consent. And they're integral with the whole utilization of the graphene and the jabs and turning people into electromagnetic antenna that can be channeled through 5G and into a giant computer. So in back to the original pyramids, you go in there when it is working, even as it is now, and you leave your body. You travel wherever. And yes, there are channels or small tunnels to focus on traveling to Sirius, among other places, leaving the material body and being free in the astral through the universe. So in essence, they're saying, you know, you go in there and it helps you to astral travel. And I've done some astral traveling, so I appreciate what that is. It was used as amplifiers of consciousness, where someone entered, leaving their body there in the king's chamber, and with that, they traveled astral projecting wherever they wanted to go. Outside of time and space, they could return to the pyramid a couple hours later, or they could choose to go for days, weeks, months, or years of travel experience. And again, they tell you all in the Hollywood 1957 film Contact with Jodie Foster, it was created in which plans arrived from deep space to create an incredibly expensive large machine, which is believed to have many complicated functions, such as a portal or means of transport. In the end, that great colossal machine is only to give a mystical experience to whoever makes it work. And you can see there how society discredits that experience. So in the end, it's kind of worthless. But that's what the pyramids are. The true purpose of the Great Pyramid is to augment the potential of everyone who is inside them for interstellar travel as well. Astral flight, with or without the physical body, remains the same. The transmutation of personal energy of the self into another dimension with all intention of doing it or achieving it. Yes, it can be done without a pyramid, because you are an energetic Taurus, and an energetic Taurus is a Merkaba, which use two interlocking pyramids. You already are the pyramid. Mind-boggling. Because if you don't know about a Merkaba, you should find on the internet a picture of two counter-rotating tetrahedrons, which is what a Merkaba is. According to the Pleiadians, under the pyramid on the physical side is another pyramidal energetically intertwined with the one you can see. So basically, it's two counter-rotating tetrahedrons. And is it true that visualizing yourself in this Merkaba is a vehicle for interdimensional travel? So this is a question put to Swaru. And Swaru says, visualizing yourself in this Merkaba is activating an intention. Yes, it works, and that's how it works. So, I want to amplify on that a little bit to give you a technique. It's called the Merkaba technique. And basically, you kind of get in a meditative pose and visualize yourself inside a Merkaba, two intertwining tetrahedrons, and they are counter-rotating. But the main thing you first start to do is you just try to get a feel for the fact that you're inside a Merkaba. And if you kind of do this a little bit for a few minutes every day, you'll start to feel the energy. And then the meditation part comes, because these two counter-rotating tetrahedrons do not rotate at the same rate. So in your intention, while you're inside the Merkaba, you state to yourself, I intend that my counter-rotating tetrahedrons rotate in a balanced way at half the speed of light. And then the next thing you say is, I intend that my counter-rotating tetrahedrons are counter-rotating in a balanced way at 60% the speed of light. And then my counter-rotating tetrahedrons are counter-rotating in a balanced way at 70% the speed of light. And then 80% the speed of light. Then 90% the speed of light. Then 99% the speed of light. And the final intention is, I intend that my counter-rotating tetrahedrons are counter-rotating in a balanced way faster than the speed of light. And at that point, you can go through a doorway and do your astral traveling. And I might add that this is also the technique that I suggest for those who aren't going to live long enough to make the bifurcation of timelines, and you get caught in one of these soul traps in the reincarnation grid, that when you first become aware that you didn't die, but you become aware that you still exist, to not get distracted by any of these archons or people giving you false pictures of past loved ones or Jesus or whatever, and intend to be inside a Merkaba vehicle and intend to go where you want to go. So that's one technique that could help you in that circumstance as well. But the proof's in the pudding there. I might add, because I'm reaching that point in the program now where I want to wish my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And kind of like the Who Am I technique, it's that Merkaba technique is one that with total focus and a little bit of practice, you may find it very fascinating. And it's recommended by Tibetan Pleiadians. And in closing, I'd like to share with you the Who Am I technique. And the Who Am I technique was given by Sri Ramana Maharshi to his close disciples in India. And I found out about it through Baba Ram Das. He used to be Dr. Richard Alpert, a professor at Harvard University, and very famous in North America for his spiritual work. And basically, the idea is to focus your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. So you get to the highest place you know how to get to first, my opinion, no matter what the method, hint, hint. Get to that place, the highest place you know how to get to, become the spot in the center of your forehead. And then you ask the question, who am I? And then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all. It is time to become a part of all.